Alex Ferrario and Tanner Hendrickson. I'm Brandon Kylie. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, questions and answers. 65780 is the Air Comfort Service text line to get involved. But right now, we are very happy to go out to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line to be joined by a 16-year Major League closer. He made 7 All-Stars. He is in the Houston Astros Hall of Fame. And one day, I believe he will be in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. He's Billy Wagner joining us via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Billy, thanks so much for the time today, man. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're thrilled to have you. So I wanted to start things out by, I mean, you had an unbelievable career, and so much of it, you went head-to-head against the Cardinals, whether it was the 06 series with the Mets or the start of your career in Houston when that was a big part of the Cardinals versus the Houston Astros rivalry. What was it like for you? What was your perspective of so many series coming into St. Louis playing against the Cardinals?
Well, you weren't only playing the baseball team, you were playing the city. So, I mean, what educated fans were there? That was standoff. I mean, you knew you had a battle every time you played a Cardinal team. Whether they were in there the best at that point or if they were struggling. I mean, in 06, they were wild card, just battling to get there, and all of a sudden they're in the World Series and they win it. I mean, they always played the game the right way. I mean, La Russa always had these guys, their pitching staff was always, they knew how to go compete. I enjoyed it. You had to raise your game. I mean, from Big Mac to Pujols to Spezio to Edmonds to, I mean, it didn't, to Tatis, to, it didn't matter. I mean, you had to raise your game and you had to come out and, You had to play your A game against them, and I enjoyed it. I really did. I thought it was probably one of the best rivalries that I played in.
Billy, you faced the Cardinals in the National League a lot, especially in the prime of that MV3 when it was Edmonds, Pujols, and Scott Rolen. As a closer, when you're seeing that part of the lineup, is there any prep that can go into what you're trying to accomplish against these guys? We've talked to former managers and former general managers who said, like, you can prep all you want against Albert Pujols or Rolen or Edmonds, but they're still going to find a way to beat you.
You're right. I mean, I think the biggest thing is it goes down to strike one. It is executing a pitch, and a lot of times it's them getting themselves out. The success that I had against each and every one always came with them getting themselves out, making a pitch, them fouling off a mistake instead of hitting it. I mean, it was always them getting themselves out. And so, you had to raise your game. You really did. You couldn't go out there and face those guys in their prime and say, all right, I'm just going to blow it by you. It just didn't happen that way. And, it was always, I'll be honest with you. It was a great opportunity for me to be challenged because they are, in the Central, they were the best. And I mean, facing them, about every other weekend, it seemed like, going to St. Louis, you had to raise your game, and it was fun. The environment was always exciting. It was electric, but, it came down to, executing a pitch and getting ahead. And, in a lot of ways, it's funny, I say getting ahead, but like with Albert, with facing Albert, who was probably one of the greatest players I've ever played against and probably one of the greatest people I've ever been around, being behind in the count a lot of times helped me against him. Because if you just laid in fastballs and you just pump fastballs, he'd get you. So I'd be behind the count, and a lot of times I'd be able to get that off the end of the bat. Because 3-1, he was ready to roll. And so a lot of times I got away with a few things because he was so aggressive and just, able to make that pitch. But, I really enjoyed the opportunities against St. Louis.
Billy, do you have any good stories of, every pitcher has these, right, where a guy just gets you. And whether it was Big Mac in the late 90s when he was here or Albert here in the early 2000s, do you have any good stories of them just finding a way to get you in an at-bat that you'll never forget?
Well, I think the one that sticks out, of course, is McGuire. But I was pretty successful against Albert. But Big Mac, he was a different beast. I remember, I think I only faced him like 3 times, and we're in St. Louis, and my high school football coach had family there, and he'd come to watch. I got any tickets, and when Mac was playing, I mean, that stadium a stadium would rock. I mean, it felt like you were bouncing when you're on the mound. It was so jazzed up. So I remember going out there and facing, I think I got two outs and I had a one run lead and I had to face Clayton. And for some reason, Brad Ausmus and I agreed to throw a changeup. And I threw a changeup and he blooped it into center. And guess what? Here come Big Mac. And I was throwing well. I think it was a 1-2 count. I threw a 98 mile an hour fastball down the way. He pulled it almost out of the stadium of Busch. I mean, almost out of it. And, you know, it's one of those things you're like, wow. You know, you're kind of bummed because you give up the home run, but it was prolific. So you're kind of like in between. And, you know, I'm walking off the field, you know, and everybody's going wild. You know, and I get into the locker room, and, you know, I'm kind of walking. I'm kind of somber. I don't know kind of how to feel about that. That just, you know, that was shock and awe all of a sudden. So you walk in, and Bagwell standing there. I go, man, that was so awesome. When he ran around first, I wanted to forearm bash him. It was so awesome. I'm like, huh, all right. Like, and my first thought was, well, next time. So, but it was prolific. But then, you know, and so to add to that situation, I have to go meet my football coach, and I'm going to like a cookout with him and his family in St. Louis somewhere. And so I meet my coach and we're going down the elevator, and this lady, and just all jazzed up about the Cardinals, and she goes, oh my gosh, did you see the home run? And, you know, I'm sitting there going, yeah, yeah. And then she's going, she goes, well, I feel so bad for that little guy who gave up that home run. And, you know, I'm sitting here going, me too. But, you know, but I mean, part of the game, I mean, I would face Mac as many times as possible, because, you know, those are the great battles that you want to come see. That you're not coming to see a walk. You're not coming to see Mac hit a single. And so power on power, and, you know, sometimes, you know, it doesn't pan out for you, but you know what? I thought that was a great, I loved it. I love facing Albert. I love those challenges, because you know what, you know, win or lose, you're facing the best, and you can't really complain.
We're talking with 7-time All-Star Billy Wagner here on BK and Ferrario. Billy, I'm curious, because in St. Louis right now, we have a young closer, Alex Reyes, who's perfect when it comes to closing situations. What kind of mindset do you have to have when you are thrusted into the position in major leagues of being a closer? Does it take a lot to kind of change that mindset?
It depends on, I mean, I was always an all or nothing type guy, even as a starter in the minor leagues. I mean, each inning became that only inning I was pitching. So I used that to kind of groom myself. I closed a little bit in college. But I think you have to have the mentality of, you know, having that, you know, that forgetful mind at times. Even when you're being successful, you have to be able to sit there and forget about the success and move to the next day. And sometimes that's hard to do, because you know, you can drink too much of the Kool-Aid, or you can start believing the hype, or you can start, you know, just as bad as when, you know, so you blow a couple and then all of a sudden, you know, it's, you're awful and what's happened. And so you got to kind of stay really even keel. And I mean, The guys that are able to go out there and do it become very successful. I mean, you're not going to play in that position and not get some type of criticism, so you can't really take it too personal, and you got to understand, yeah, you know, you got to be very humble and very accountable to the situation and say, yeah, I mean, because, you know, you're gonna blow some games, and it's gonna be some games that everybody in the world thinks you shouldn't, and you know, there's gonna be a lot of things that people are gonna be tough on you about, but you've got to be strong-minded. You've also got to be very accountable to your mistakes. And, you know, and the funniest thing is when you are doing well, you've got to be very humble about it and just go, you know, hey, to the next day. So, you know, if you're able to understand what success is, that's great. But there's a dose of reality coming, because these hitters are good and they're going to get you. You're going to face the best of the best, and they're going to get you a blue blast or whatever. And you got to be able to swallow that a little bit.
Billy, something I wanted to make sure that we asked you about today is the biggest story right now in the sport, and it's the foreign substances that are now going to be officially outlawed. They're going to start policing this stuff over the course of the next week or so. You played this game for 16 years. You've been around it your entire life. What did you make when you heard the announcement from baseball that they were going to start cracking down on the foreign substances, so much so that they're actually saying, like, if you're found with sunscreen and rosin, that's also potentially going to be included in the suspensions here? What'd you make of that?
I think that's awesome. I think it's good that they're going to take pine tar away from the hitters too, I guess, right? Because, you know, we don't want the bat swinging out there and hitting the pitcher. You know, we don't want them to get a decent grip on the bat so they can hit that ball about 900 miles off your face. I mean, I think that's really smart of Major League Baseball. I remember I used pine tar. I did. Everybody used it. And I remember Nomar Garcia Parra one day, we were on a tour in Japan, and he said something to me about he goes, "Oh, man, you used pine tar." He goes, I'm gonna tell the umpire. I said, "Yeah, go ahead. Knock it out." I said, I'll serve my suspension, but I said, I'm going to promise you, the next time it happens, you're going to want me to have that pine tar, because sometimes I don't know where it's going.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, this is called hitter safety. I said, now you want to sit there and you want to make more of it. Nobody's complaining about that foreign substance when they hit that home run or they're getting hits and stuff like that. But when they're struggling, when these hitters are struggling, now all of a sudden it's bitch and moan about every damn thing that goes on. And you know what? It's crazy. I mean, The pitchers are awesome. The hitters are awesome, but the bitching and moaning's got to stop. Nobody complains about anything when the hitters are getting home runs. Now we got to shorten the mound, raise the mound. We got to lower the seams. We got to raise the seams, and we got all these things. I mean, you go out there. I mean, you go out there in the ninth inning with a cue ball. That's what that ball is. And I know I heard Pedro say, you know, he had his guys rub the ball up the way he liked it. Well, by the time I get out there in the ninth inning, there ain't nobody rubbing baseballs up for me. And they ain't no texture. And them things are slick. And I'm going to tell you, today's kids are throwing 100 just warming up. And, I mean, Chapman throwing 105, I want him to have all the grip he can get. And so if that's the case, if these hitters want to bitch and moan so much about this, then let me tell you something. You better open that inside part of that plate up. Because I ain't sitting here throwing on the outside part just to save your life, because that ball's going to come back in my face. And I've been there and done that with the ball off my face. So I don't want to hear it from hitters. And I want to hear it from Major League Baseball that they're protecting. And this, because nobody's saying a word when these balls are leaving the ballpark. It rampant. That we were using pine tar with McGuire and Sosa and Bonds and Griffey, and nobody complained. Those guys didn't complain. Good hitters, that's like the shift. Everybody's complaining about the shift. Be a better hitter. Be a better hitter and hit away from it. Bunt. Try to play to win. Quit trying to hit for your stats. That's what irritates me.
Billy, I'm curious, with the substance on the pitching, you know, we've heard Tyler Glass now from the Tampa Bay Rays, who just now we found out a UCL tear because, and he's crediting it to the fact that they took the substance away of midseason. How much from a pitcher's perspective does that go into it, of just tearing the substance away from pitchers that are used to it in the middle of a season with no prep? How much does that go into some of the injuries that we could be seeing?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of the grip is for hand strength, finger strength. You ask any pitcher, if they have good hand strength, a lot of times you don't have to grip as hard. And so you can create this spin. I mean, these guys, but, you know, you take some of these things out of it, you know, on a dry, blustery day in, you know, San Francisco or something like that, in Colorado, something like that, and you're not used to it, it does make a big difference. I'll tell you exactly a day. I was pitching against the Mets when I was with Philadelphia, and I went out there naked. I had no pine tar on, nothing. Went out there, blew a save. Dana DeMuth was behind the plate. I'm pitching. Cliff Floyd, who's a close friend of mine, comes up to bat. I throw two balls up and in on him. Not even intentional. He threw me out of the game because he said I was throwing the ball at him. Now, Cliff even told Dana, no, he's not throwing. I got thrown out of the game, and I had no pine tar, none, nothing. So it does make a difference. I know it makes a difference. And, I mean, you know, some of these, they don't understand that grip. I mean, I know that the spin is better. You get the better grip. But, I mean, this thing's been going on forever. I mean, so today we're going to make a difference and, you know, and decide we're going to take things away. Let's make sure the hitters don't get batting gloves or pine tar. No thumb guards. Take all that damn protective stuff off the body and, you know, stand your ass up there.
Billy,
quit moaning and groaning.
Final question that I've got for you quickly. Have you seen the stuff that they're using now? Have you had any experience with this spider tack? There was the...
I don't know what that is.
Okay. No. I was curious if you've seen this as well, because it looks like glue. Like, it's crazy the way that it works.
Well, and it may be tremendous, but I know that if you put too much pine tar on yourself, it becomes hard to control. If you don't know how to use it, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, if a guy scuffs a ball, if the umpire misses a ball that's been scuffed, throws it back to you, and you don't know how to use it, that thing goes crazy. But if you get that scuff ball and you know how to use it, then it's deadly. But I mean, if you don't know how to use it, but to be honest with you, control is a main issue. Anybody that steps in that batter's box wants that pitcher to have control. They don't want to face Chapman throwing what he throws, or anybody, Kimbrel or any of these kids, and to throw as hard as they throw and have to be worried about that ball could get away because he has no feel.
That's interesting. Billy, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for hopping on with us today. I could talk with you all day. This has been great. Let's do this again soon if you have some more time in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys, for having me.